How we all doing on this fine Tuesday? Busy night. You got a presidential debate. You got the Yankees taking on the Royals. You got the Mets against the Blue Jays. No football to break from what was a crazy run of football that began on Thursday night. You had Friday night. You had all the college football on Saturday, which I don't know how Sean Howe is allowed to even watch all that stuff. Considering how much sports you watch during the week and how you treat football Sundays, the fact you're able to even glance at college football, I'm very impressed by that.
My wife knows. It's for the job.
It's not really for the job, though.
My wife knows.
I mean, is it?
It's for the job. By the way, you know what?
Have we broken down anything?
We will when you need to lean on who the Giants should draft at quarterback. You know where to come.
That's a, you know what? Touche. We'll get your calls coming up. We'll get you ready for tonight's baseball. But first, a Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. As Evan mentioned, fascinating night of television tonight. So I'm going to give you the top five people with the most pressure on them tonight.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Men. You just watched the NFL for four of the last 5 days. Find some time with your wives who don't like football tonight to do anything else.
It's pennant race baseball, yeah. Bro.
Find something.
Okay.
Pull an Evan. DVR until your wife's tuckly asleep. Or tuckly asleep?
Tuckly asleep.
Tucked asleep?
Yes.
Let's move on.
Number four.
David Peterson. Some are calling him Mr. August. He needs to be Mr. September starting tonight.
He's already made it start in September.
But it needs to continue here. Let's go.
Yeah, look, there's pressure on every Mets starting pitcher because right now they're carrying an offense that, you know, very quietly has not done a lot. You know, when you win games, you kind of ignore the issues. Like last night, the Mets scored. Remember how the Mets scored their runs last night? Wild pitch, pass ball. It was a very non-inspired offensive effort. So until the offense wakes up, which hopefully will be tonight, they owe Chris Bassett. Let me tell you right now, they owe that guy. He helped derail their season last year because he pitched great against them. And you remember why he pitched great against them? His wife's water broke, and Chris said, hold on for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Pitched against the Mets, dominated, and said, all right, I'm out. Flew to his wife in time for the birth of his kid.
Oh,
that's badass.
That is badass.
That's a man. I don't care. David Peterson delivered tonight.
Guess what? The Mets owe him tonight.
Number three.
Number three is Marcus Stroman. It is now a two-game lead on the Orioles in the loss column, Marcus. Every time the Yankees seem to win a game, it seems like he's him or Rodon. They'll alternate turns, coughing it up. How about for once the Yankees win a series before you go into the third game? Give me a good effort tonight, Marcus.
Yeah, and they're facing Cy Young contender, former Mets, Seth Lugo.
Which is interesting. They're facing a former Met. And the Royals are facing a former Blue Jay, the Mets and Blue Jays tonight.
Number two.
Let that one sink in. Number two is Daniel Jones.
Tonight.
Daniel, there's a debate on, there's baseball on. Every last minute of tape of the Commanders should be watched tonight and every night this week.
Right.
Your job's on the line.
All right.
All right, a lot of pressure on Daniel tonight.
Here number we go. One.
That's easy pressure.
Yeah. And number one, Lindsay Davis. Big moderating spot tonight. Big moderating spot tonight. A lot of pressure.
And I didn't have sex with a porn star.
All right, there you go.
I wonder if that even comes up.
Sex with a porn star?
It won't.
I hope you not. You know, since 2016, I've watched every single debate. A lot of stuff has come up that I didn't see coming, including hand size. Like, right. I never thought that would happen.
Well,
so.
David Muir is also, right? David Muir.
Is it David Muir and Lindsay Davis doing it tonight?
Yes. We'll moderate first debate between Harris and Trump.
Can I ask you a dumb question about debates?
Yeah.
And I don't know why this has popped into my head now. ABC is hosting the debate, and yet the debate is on every single channel.
I know this.
So how does that work?
Like, I don't know. Like, do you take, I guess they have their own cameras there?
Do they? Well, I think they're just taking the feed from ABC, but why are they allowed to air it? Like,
no,
why is that okay?
I almost feel like it's
public service so that we can all see it.
Definitely. But I'm just thinking about the cameras now. I feel like sometimes it's from a different angle when you're watching on, say, CNN.
Oh, I'm going to flip around now. Now you got me curious. I never thought of that.
I don't remember because the last debate was so long ago. Still.
No, it wasn't. It was in June.
But yeah, but
the one that knocked out the president?
I don't remember that one.
Neither does he.
Yeah. It was so like bizarre.
Yeah.
And I didn't flip. I didn't flip stations.
See, I'm going to flip tonight.
I'm thinking like in past years.
Yeah.
Just flipping through.
Well, thank God that it's on other stations. DirecTV people would be out on the debate if it was on the
air. Yeah, that's true.
Is that right?
I can't believe they didn't fix that. Yeah. So last night, ESPN ABC is still out on DirecTV. And so the way...
Get Monday Night Football.
Yeah, right. The way around it is, and this would be my advice for any future Monday Night game, because you're right about the debate tonight. You can watch it on anything. You watch it on Fox. You watch it on NBC, CBS. It's everywhere. Is if you have ESPN, you can give your login for your cable provider to somebody else.
Is that right?
They can log in. Yeah. That's how I watched it last night.
Unlimitedly?
I think so. So I have a cable box and I have a streaming service. I waste money. Clearly, I've got to improve that.
I do too, by the way.
Oh, do you? Okay. So I use the login.
Every streaming service.
Yeah, me too.
Even though a couple are bundled.
Yeah, some of them are, right? Like Hulu,
Disney,
is bundled. Yeah.
In ESPN.
So I use the login from my cable box to access the game in my bedroom where I don't have the cable box.
I see.
And so you use the login and you're able to use it. But man, if they didn't get this done before Jets Niners on Monday night, then this DirecTV ESPN standoff is going to last a lot longer.
Yeah, it's not getting done.
Yeah.
Because that's two big markets, West Coast and East Coast.
Yeah.
And they didn't care.
Usually you need a deadline to get things done. Didn't get it done.
2 weeks away. I know we don't care here. Alabama, Georgia is going to do a huge number on ESPN. DirecTV people, that might be where they flip throughout the country.
You think that'll be the game?
That's a massive game.
No, it's a massive game. Because Tiki mentioned the big markets of New York and San Francisco, just market size.
Because it's also going to be a buildup. You're going to have three Monday night games or two Monday night games by then.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get to what people will think is the college football game of the year on that Saturday night.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about the whole country.
No, I get you. Even I'm going to watch that game.
Yeah. That's a massive problem.
Then again, I got to check the playoff schedule. Let me see what the baseball playoffs are.
September 27th.
Oh, that's the final Saturday of the baseball season. That could be a huge day. Let's get to some of your calls. Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Ozzy.
Yo, fellas. How you doing?
All's good.
Good. What's up?
Sean is the Kamala Harris of sports fandom.
Oh, now we're bringing the politics involved. Is that what we're doing now?
Please explain.
Flip-flopping. I quit on this team. I love this team. They're making the World Series. I quit on this team. They're going to make the Stanley Cup next year.
What is she flip-flopped on?
He's a very emotional
fracking fan,
Sean.
Ask Sean about fracking. That's what Kamala's flip-flopped on. What do you mean, what is she flip-flopped on?
By the way, speaking of flip-flopped,
how much of the country cares about fracking?
Pennsylvania.
I know Pennsylvania, but I'm just saying honestly.
I don't know. I don't care about fracking, but I can tell you this. My favorite flip-flopping, point was at the 2004 Republican debate. I'm sorry, 2004 Republican convention. They were obviously renominating George W. Bush. They were going up against John Kerry, who is perfectly placed as a flip-flopper, right?
Mm-hmm.
I voted for the war before I voted against it, all that. And so these women and men would be in the stands holding flip-flops and waving them in the sky to, like, taunt him, like, flip-flop, and they're waving flip-flops. So I'm sorry, politically, whenever I think of flip-flops, I think of that moment, right. And I think of Senator John Kerry. Nice. But continue on. Anything else?
Yeah, that's part of the reason why they don't allow audiences in a lot of these debates anymore.
Yeah, I'm glad they don't. I don't need to hear people cheering or cackling or booing. Like, shut up.
Tiki, I don't envy you, man.
Why?
It's only week one, and we had yesterday, right? Evan tried to play his Giants AI song, and Sean and his Jazz Chisholm chin snapped at him, saying his wounds need to heal. And now that Sean's giant gas is healed, he's getting yelled at by Evan, because Evan's yelling at Sean today about bringing up the injury history with Aaron Rodgers, and how does that relate to Sean Gardner's injury?
That's a good point.
It's only week one.
I know.
We got a long way to the football season brings out the
All
worst
I know
of us.
Is one of these teams. No, both of these teams need to win in week two.
Yes.
Just for the sanity of this show.
Who needs to win more?
The Giants.
No.
Yes.
No.
Because you haven't even played a home game yet.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess you could rationalize. You could rationalize as much as we'd panic after losing to Tennessee. You know what? You got Minnesota, you got Denver, and of course New England. And if you win those three, I think you're right. Your answer is probably right, but boy, that's not going to stop the panicking.
No, but I feel like
it's going to be four crazy days.
Speaking of John Kerry.
What?
He was literally just on the TV.
Oh, yeah, because now we're watching news and they're showing past debates.
That's exactly what you were talking
about.
Dude,
I'm not even kidding you. I was on YouTube the other night watching old debates.
Strategery.
I just love it. I'm a political geek,
you
bro.
You love old debates that don't have any purpose?
No, they have a lot of purpose.
Which is?
You get to see what we were talking about 30 years ago, like when Reagan and Mondale were going at it.
What were they talking about?
We're talking about a lot of the same things we're talking about now.
TikTok?
No, not that. Immigration, the economy.
I'm a loser.
Russia, except they were the Soviets back then. Like, dude, in fact, that's going to happen tonight. So I'm going to watch the baseball, and of course I'm going to watch the presidential debate. And then when I'm done, while most of you people are going to watch your favorite cable news channel to tell you who won, spoiler alert, I can tell you what cable news channel is going to tell you who won, okay? I'm going to go on YouTube and watch...
Touching it is kind of fun.
Like Reagan Carter from 80.
Why?
Because it's fun. Would it be why? Because it's awesome. Bush against Dukakis. Like, all these debates. Dukakis was a real candidate. Sean thinks it's a made-up name.
No, that's not true. I know David Dukakis.
Do you?
I do. By the way, are you and Hoffman doing an emergency William Taft tonight?
What was that?
Are you and Hoffman going to record an emergency William Taft tonight?
That'd be funny.
Hello?
By the way, what was Dukakis' name again?
David?
Yeah, no.
Donald?
No.
It was another D.
No.
No.
Really?
No.
Edgar?
Michael.
Michael Dukakis.
Michael Dukakis.
Who was David Dukakis?
He's like an actor that was on like NYPD.
No, that's David Duchovny.
Oh. No, yeah. That's X-Files. What was the actor on NYPD Blue?
More importantly, Evan, can you try something for the audience right now?
Go ahead.
Can you try saying Coca-Cola without your lips touching?
Coca-Cola, 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 Coca-Cola. Can we move on now?
You know that joke?
No, I don't know the joke.
Your lips never touch when you say Coca-Cola.
So what's the joke?
You're supposed to go Coca-Cola?
Tiki, what the hell is going on?
I was waiting to catch Evan sleeping, but he didn't blink. So.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for that. This guy's mad at Tiki, so let's listen to that phone call. Why? How could Bob and Franklin Lakes be mad at Tiki Barber? What did he do?
Cola.
I hate to make this call, but yesterday a Giants fan called in and was critical of John Mara, and Tiki told the guy, "What are you going to do about it?" And I think that was a pretty... that was a pretty obnoxious thing to say to a Giant fan.
Well, I didn't say, what are you going to do about it? You heard it wrong.
Yes, you did.
Bob. I said, what would you want to be done about it?
No. Basically, what are you going to do about it?
Now you're lying to yourself. Family. You're pissing me off, Bob. You're pissing me off because you have to listen to what I say. But the point was when the guy called and was like, John Mara's fault. I'm like, well, what should you do about it? There's nothing you can do. He's the owner. Just like Jerry Jones pisses off Cowboy fans. What are you going to do about it?
The only thing you could do about it, because I've done this before, is just complain.
Exactly.
But it doesn't do anything. Like, the one thing I'll never do, and I want to get into this Mara thing deeper because it's fascinating to me. One thing I would never do is not go to see my team play. Right. I wouldn't take something away from myself because I'm mad at the owner. But here's what I'm fascinated about with John Mara. All right? And maybe, Sean, you're in the kind of the dirtiness of Giant fans. I am all for ripping an owner. I really am. And I've ripped John Mara before.
Right.
But I'll tell you what I ripped him about and why I can't rip him right now. What am I ripping John Mara about now? He hired two people that most of us were like,
one of whom won a coach of the year.
Right. And he's letting them do their job. Like, because my
criticism, which he should
be. My criticism of John Mara, and by the way, Tiki, I know you said, Evan, you were wrong about this. That's fine. Maybe I was. But my criticism back in the day was, boy, it seems like he doesn't allow his GM to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If I was wrong about it, here's what I'd say. Who cares? It was like 8 years ago. Now, based on actions, based on a little bit of hard knocks, he doesn't look at all like he's overbearing. It looks like he has opinions.
He's always been that way.
Maybe you're right. That's fine.
It's just the narrative that persisted because people kept saying it. You know what I mean? Like,
he changed.
Yeah. Well, whether you're the owner.
I think you gave me a look like, no way.
No.
But whether the owner, president, CEO of the Giants, or your local plumber, you're entitled to have made mistakes in your career or publicly saying anything and allowed to learn from them. Clearly, by giving Joe Shane and Brian Daboll the flexibility, let the team's most popular player walk, go for a third year. Even if he made mistakes with Gettleman and all that stuff in the past, we had the privilege of seeing it on Hard Knocks.
But I almost feel like,
you got to give him credit.
Think about some of those decisions that Dave Gettleman made, right? Are you actually, as an owner, saying, yeah, I'm okay with that? The answer is probably no. So he let Dave Gettleman do what Dave Gettleman wanted to do.
And isn't that what an owner should do?
If that's what you hire your general manager to do.
No, the problem was hiring Gettleman because he felt, he admitted this, that he, it was a comfort thing for
him
when he stepped out.
Of course, because Gettleman was previously in the organization.
Right.
When I was playing, Gettleman was the assistant general manager.
Right.
So he was there. He just felt like, I need somebody who knows what we've been through, who's been through our championship buildup. Maybe he can bring some of that magic back. And clearly he was shot as a GM.
I think when you, because I've had issues with my owners, like right now, Josai. I don't like Josai. I think he's a terrible owner. Now.
Yeah, but you don't know Josai.
I don't know him as a person. I'm saying his actions as owner have been bad.
Right.
You don't want to break that down with me because I'm just a raving lunatic and I don't want to get into this. But I don't like him as an owner. Of course, as a person, he may be a great guy as a person. Mm-hmm. I've never met him. He can come on the show anytime he wants. Actually, you know what? I can't say that anymore. No one actually cares about the Nets. So let me amend that invitation, Mr. Tsai. You can come on a personal podcast of mine.
The Kendall Gill will have you on.
Anytime you want. And we'll break it down.
If an owner of one of our local teams wanted to come on, I think we'd let him on.
You're right. And you know why else we should let him on? I want to correct myself. He owns the New York Liberty, a team that is capable of winning a championship. Now, there's the contradiction. Why is Joe Tsai such a great owner with the Liberty and yet such a terrible owner when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets? I don't know. It's kind of like James Dolan with the Knicks and
Rangers. Maybe because he lets his GM or president of basketball operations do things that he probably shouldn't do.
Bang. Wait. Yes, bang.
Exactly.
Well, I gotta get that in my head. Right now with the Giants, your anger should absolutely, and it is fair to be angry at the general manager and criticize his decisions. Absolutely fair to be mad at the head coach. I've laid out some of my criticisms. But right now I see that owner and say, he's just letting the guys he hired do his job.
Right. And that's what an owner does. And most fans have the luxury of never having a personal relationship with the people who they malign.
Well, we'd love to have that personal relationship.
But you wouldn't talk that way if you did.
So let me...
I'm just telling you this from a personal experience standpoint. I've heard over the course of my life, professional life, let's call it, here in New York, people say ridiculous things about me on air. Heard it, right? I've heard it downstream.
Definitely not me, by the way.
Never in my life have I heard it to my face.
Mm.
Once somebody has a chance to talk to me, they don't talk that way.
Right.
So the luxury of the medium that is separating you, whether it's radio or social media in these days, it gives you like license to turn into an ass.
That's true.
And so I'm fortunate, have the luxury of having relationships with these people. And so it's hard for me to sit and listen. In fact, I won't do it anymore. It's why I cut people off when they try to malign John Mara about things that he's not actually doing. Right? You're lying because you hear it in an echo chamber and you say it over and over and over and over and over. And so in your mind, it's truth, even though it's utter BS. And so I refuse to let that exist. If there's one thing that I can contribute, because I and Boomer are the only ones that have ever been in close relationship with teams like that, is tell you what it's actually like. Right? Nobody else can do that. Sean can't do it. Lukey can't. You can't.
I can.
I can. And so it's almost a responsibility for me to tell you you're wrong. So if it offends you, Bob, I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, when you call up and you say nonsense about things that you don't know what you're talking about, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Period. Sorry. I apologize.
Can you get me a personal meeting with Joe Tsai? I will talk to him nicely about it.
I can figure that out.
Okay.
Yanks are playing well, huh?
Let's go to John in Freeport. What's up, John?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show. I have three questions for you, Evan. If you had an opportunity in the future to write another book, because your book was excellent, by the way.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Which of your sons would you pick, or which of your sons would be the one that will be writing that book with you?
And I'm then not picking between my sons?
I see what you did there. I see what you did there,
no,
John.
Which
one of your kids do you love more? Why do you just ask that question,
John? They both sound amazing, but I think that Jed would be the one that's going to follow his footsteps.
I don't
Maybe
you
I'm
know.
Wrong.
Here's what I'm going to answer that question for you, because one son is 3, about to turn 4. Mm. My
Too
other
young.
Son is 7, about to turn 8.
Too young.
No, I'm sensing what they're into.
Okay.
So what I've gotten from Jet is a great interest in baseball and the Mets. I have. He scores games. He's intrigued by the other sports, like football and basketball and hockey, but not as intrigued as baseball. Spence, in his early age, because he's still only 3, It's basketball.
Yeah.
I'm seeing an interest in the NBA.
Is that because of, what was his name? Spencer Dinwiddie?
It actually was, yes. It brought him in.
Even though he's no longer a net?
That's right. It's very tough to break the news to him, but... I let my kids be who they are. I know that you probably assume like I'm forcing them to watch sports and love it. No, I want to see them like it. In fact, I just try to answer questions honestly, and I'm so glad he brought that up because Jet and I had a conversation this morning that I definitely want to share with you.
Okay.
So,
does he want to be a Giants fan?
It's about the Giants, and I would not say that.
Does he want to be a Giants fan?
Jet says to me,
is there a chance that I'm going to turn him into a Giants fan?
Kind of the opposite. So here's the conversation.
Oh, wow.
Jet says to me, do we dislike the Giants?
Oh, interesting.
And I said, you know, it's funny, Jet. I try to respect, obviously, I married into a family where my father-in-law and brother-in-law root for all the different teams, but mm-hmm. I'm always honest about this. I said, Jet, you know I do not like the New York Knicks. You know that. You know I do not like the New York Rangers. And you know that while I don't dislike the Yankees as much as I used to, we do not root for them in this house, mm-hmm. okay? I said, the Giants are interesting. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I've never hated the New York Giants. And I expressed that to Tiki. He doesn't seem to believe me.
I do believe you.
Okay. There have been times in which I've rooted for the Giants, including the first Super Bowl against New England. Mm-hmm. I have never disliked the New York Giants. So I'm just giving you how I feel, Jet. I don't dislike the Giants. And he looks at me and says, well, I do.
Oh.
And I said, what? Why? Like, I'm just fascinated. And he said, Giant fans are very mean about the Jets. Very mean. They say Jets, bad word. He doesn't say suck, but he was implying it. Mm. And they talk a lot of mean stuff. And quite frankly, I don't like them. Mm. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you.
Wow.
What am I supposed to say? Wow. No, they're all nice people.
Yeah, you say, well, I sit next to a Giant, and he's fantastic.
I said that. I eventually said, Tiki's a former Giant. He's a great guy. But here's the problem with you, Tiki. Mm. You are not in elementary school. He is. And what I learned from that conversation is there's nothing I can do. If Giant fans who are in the third and fourth and fifth grade mm-hmm. are going to be, fill in the word you want to use, that's inappropriate, that I won't, because we're a classy show around here,
right.
then there's nothing I can do that's going to allow Jet to not dislike the Giants.
Okay.
So Giant fans, teach your kids to be nicer.
Right. For all the Giant fans that are up in all of Westchester.
Yes.
Be better. Be better, at least the third and fourth graders.
Yes.
Be better to your classmates to be Jet fans.
You're going
to
create haters?
Be better.
Be better. Like, they're the reason, like, Sean.
Let them envy you.
That's right.
Don't piss them off.
Bingo. Sean actively teaches his daughters to hate the New York Jets.
That's changed.
Oh, has it?
Oh, yeah.
I have audio of your daughter on WFAN saying, I hate the Jets, Daddy.
Why? How did it change?
Because they currently have a very, very weak old cousin and a soon-to-be other cousin that are both going to grow up Jet fans, and I realize, you know what? I don't need them all fist fighting their whole lives.
Mm.
So I said, we don't hate the Jets. We just don't like the Jets. We do hate the Eagles.
Why do you have to
hate
the
Cowboys?
Why do you have to hate them?
So, because if you don't start with the hate early, there's a chance it leaves that crack that they could become a Jet.
No, you teach them indifference.
That's what I've done, Teak. That's a great point. Indifference is key.
It's just better.
Yeah.
Better and more malicious than hate.
I'm just telling you.
It's better and more malicious than hate.
I don't disagree, but I'm going to speak from a daddy fear.
Okay.
My kids get older. They go about their life. They know daddy loves the Giants. They sit there, watch. They meet a wonderful man in high school. Whole family Jet fan. Suddenly she's hanging at his house on a Sunday. She's been taught her whole life to be indifferent towards the Jets. You know what? I could see myself switching over my family.
That means she'll come to your house to watch the game.
My fear is she stays over there on green.
No, she'll just leave her.
She better.
I don't care.
She better.
I got to go watch the game with my dad.
I hope that's the way she does that, but it makes me panic a little bit.
Yeah. By the way, you're both right. I have taught my sons indifference to the other New York teams, yes. but they also need to know that dad doesn't like them.
Mm.
You know? So they need to know the back. Like the Knicks, I have done such a great job of teaching complete, utter indifference about the New York Knicks, but there will always be that subtle reminder about how much they make my skin crawl.
Right. But it's all good until one of the teams that you have taught indifference to wins a championship.
Yeah, that's risky.
That's when it gets challenging.
Let's go Knicks.
That's when it gets challenging.
And by the way, to any 7, 8, 9-year-old in school Giant fan, just tell your Jet fan friends to eat a turd sandwich.
It's creating haters all over the city.
What's wrong with you, Sean?
888-808-1019. More of your calls next. We'll get you set for this evening's night of sports. 5:36, Evan and Tiki here on a Tuesday. So I thought this exchange was interesting. I want to play it for you, get Tiki's perspective. Kayvon Thibodeau did not have a good game on Sunday. He wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Burns also didn't have a good game on Sunday. I mean, who really did have a good game on Sunday? To me, Drew Phillips had a good game.
Right.
And Sexy Dexy.
Yeah, that was it.
That's the list.
And it was early.
Oh, and Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, he did.
And Tyler Newbern had 9 tackles.
Okay, so we were up to 4 guys. Want to keep going? You got more guys?
Malik Nabers had a good game.
He ran a lazy route on the first drive, right, Teak?
Yeah, third down. But
we could cut the list there, but just one more thing. Malik Nabers already better year than Garrett Wilson so far, but go on.
I'm not even going to count him out. Don't even get caught in
66 from Malik Neighbors, right. I think like
and
30.
That's one in rookie receiver.
Garrett
right?
Wilson had 60 yards receiving last night, for the record.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what did he
have his first game ever?
Garrett?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question.
Well, why are we doing this? Why are you engaging in the trolls?
Because it's sports talk.
It was a Daniel Jones who couldn't throw. No, all right.
Daniel Jones couldn't throw. Malik Neighbors had more yards.
Can we get to the thing I was just queuing up? All right. We have to go off into this stupid. This is why Jets going to hate Giant fans, because of people like Sean Morash.
Go ahead.
All right. So Kayvon Thibodeau was asked, a question about his struggles and the defensive struggles by local reporter Jordan Ronan. And Kayvon took a very different approach to answering the question. Take a listen.
I know that a lot's on you guys in the pass rush up front. Like, that's what this team is supposed to be built on. How much...
Anybody else got questions?
Kayvon, what happened?
Is that a big
question for you? Go ahead.
What happened on that penalty?
Man, I tried to convert. I think I kind of hooked his face mask.
Basically blew Jordan Ronan off.
Wow.
I'm
actually kind of surprised that the other reporter just jumped right in.
Yeah, they didn't show any loyalty towards Jordan at all.
I know.
They should have refused to ask another question.
Or just ask the same question.
Yeah. You know what the problem is? These reporters are like, it's the Royal Rumble. They don't care.
And it's a split locker room with those reporters.
They have their own agenda.
Yeah. What do you take out of that?
He doesn't like Jordan.
That's what I took to.
Right. It's clearly that's what it is. Yes. So, I don't know why, but maybe we could find out. I'm sure Sean knows.
That sounded like he was not saying, I'm not going to answer that question. It sounds like, I'm not going to answer that question coming from your face.
Right.
Like, if another reporter asked, and what was the question? Basically, you guys suck. How about that?
I think it was like, your identity supposed to be your pass rush.
And basically, you were completely shut out today. You have anything to say about that?
Yes.
That's not really a question. It's more like a comment.
Yeah.
It's more like, which, by the way, he's right about, but it's more like an observation.
Yeah.
Hey, so Kayvon,
we didn't finish the question, so we don't know. But it's like the question is why I don't know what the question is. Like, why were you bad?
Were there ever reporters where you're like, you know what, screw this guy. I don't care what the question is. I don't want to answer
I'm
you.
I'm trying to think if there was one reporter I ever had an issue with. I don't think there was.
Yeah.
They all had my number. I mean, I was whatever.
And there were a lot of dumb questions.
Ask me the question, I'll answer it.
And no matter how dumb they were, right. The question, not the person, you would answer the question.
Of course.
Yeah, I would say this about Kayvon.
Sometimes it would just be a rote, all right, let me pull this from the filing cabinet and give you a standard answer. But
right.
Yeah, you're right, I always answer them.
Here's the problem, though, with that clip. The following question that he interrupts Ronan to ask is the most prevalent question needs to be asked to Kayvon Thibodeau, and he's so focused on being a jerk to Jordan Ronan that his answer is actually an even worse answer to that question.
What was the answer?
I didn't even listen.
I've listened to this clip 14 times, and I picked up on it. He was asked about the face mask that completely changed the complexion of the second half.
Yes.
And his quick answer, because he's staring at Ronan to blow him off, is going, yeah, I just kind of hooked the face mask. Yeah, what's next? Hook the face mask. It was 3rd and 16. We were off the field.
Right.
Can I get more than that? What were you thinking?
That's true. He wasn't.
Well, I think the answer isn't the answer.
No, he didn't hook the face mask. I mean, he put his hand up in his face.
Right. He didn't just barely hook it. It was a terrible penalty.
Right. It was a terrible penalty, but T, you tell me. It's not like he's doing it on purpose.
He's
not saying I want to purposely grab this dude's face mask.
He didn't grab it. He pushed it.
Right.
So he's trying to gain leverage. I mean, it's part of defensive end strategy. You try to, dip under, and if you get stoned, you push. And so instead of pushing, you can't push low because it's too, the tackle outweighs you. So you have to get him high and get him off balance and get him, on the back of his heels, and then you have the advantage, and he pushes it in his face, and that's an illegal
hand. But he wasn't meaning to push him in the face. It's like most of these penalties.
Maybe he was.
Really? But you're going to get called for it.
Yeah.
Especially on a 3rd and long that.
Maybe you think you get away with it.
Oh, jeez. The other thing from last night that I did find fascinating, and I have real compassion for Jordan Mason of the San Francisco 49ers, as much as I can't stand him because he haunted my dreams last night, looking like Barry Sanders slash Emmitt Smith slash Jim Brown slash Tiki Barber slash Curtis Martin. He, after the game, was asked a very basic question.
And on the field.
On the field. Yeah. This is on the field after the game. Listen to the interaction that Jordan Mason had with the sideline reporter, and you'll hear nothing wrong here.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When I found out, maybe Friday night, you know, something like that.
So I could tell from this answer, Jordan Mason is such an honest dude that he was going to be like, oh, I'll answer the question. It was Friday. But as he's saying it, there's a hesitation of, am I supposed to say this?
Friday or Friday night, maybe?
Yeah. And so you could tell, like, you could feel the brain working as he's giving that answer. So to all of us who heard that, who have fantasy teams or they're gamblers, the reaction was WTF.
Yeah.
What do you mean you found out Friday night?
Because if, well, I guess it's a competitive thing. But if he was starting, that meant that Christian McCaffrey was not playing.
He was out.
That he was out.
And he wasn't ruled out until Monday late afternoon.
Exactly. And for those that had him on, you know, on your fantasy team, Christian McCaffrey, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Because like you've already played everybody else.
Right.
So you're waiting for Christian McCaffrey to, I don't know, rush for 150 yards and two touchdowns.
But that's why you got a handcuff with a backup. So if you were smart, you had McCaffrey's backup.
My point is, because it's Monday night.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh, you mean handcuff on the same team.
I'm saying handcuff on the same team so that if, God forbid, something like this happens, especially when a guy is questionable, your backup plan could be, oh, I'll just play the guy who's being elevated.
Yes.
So Jordan Mason gives an honest answer. Right. I believe that that answer was, I found out Friday night.
Yes.
Kyle Shanahan is now asked, hey, when did you know Mason was going to start? McCaffrey wasn't. Mason said Friday, and Shanahan, knowing, hey, I would break the rules if we admit that, shuts it down and says, no, that's not what happened. Now Jordan Mason is doing his rounds of interviews. I think this was NFL Network, and he's asked, oh, no, this was his press conference, and he's asked again, and listen to how Jordan Mason responds, knowing, I can't say Friday because that's going to get somebody in trouble.
When did you find out that you'd be in the starting lineup?
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong, and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
I feel so bad for him.
Right.
He actually didn't do anything wrong.
Right. He must have got chewed out.
Yes.
Right. Clearly. They got mad at him.
They got mad at him because Jordan Mason gave an honest answer.
Right. And think about this. Think about this for this kid. Jordan Mason is a undrafted free agent. He's in his third year. Right? He's been around for a minute. It's not like he just came off the street from some podunk college and he just found his way. He's been in the league for a couple of years, just not ever really gotten any traction. And he has the game of his life.
Yeah.
28 carry. They give him the ball 28 times for 147 yards and a touchdown. And he's upset on the podium because they yelled at him.
Think
about that.
And yelled at him because he was just being honest.
And think about that.
Right.
Think about how you treat the guy who starred for you last night.
Yeah.
That's just jacked up. That's just wrong.
So what should the Niners have done?
They should have told him, hey, before the game started.
They coached him up on how to answer that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I bet you they didn't.
Of course they didn't. And even if they didn't, this is a PR. Like, this is why the best PR guys around the league, like, they anticipate what's going to happen. And so when he gets requested to be interviewed on the field, because we do this as well. Like, the star of the game, you're going to get interviewed on the field. So after our game, C.J. Stroud gets interviewed, and A.J. Ross stands down on the field. She interviews C.J. Stroud, asks him a few questions, and then game's over, it goes into the log, and it goes wherever it goes. This is live. So as he's walking over there, the PR person needs to tell them, like, be aware that this is going to be asked.
Smarten him up. Remind him he needs to lie to the national media.
Not lie.
It's lying.
Just make it. But honestly, it doesn't matter.
I agree it doesn't. But
because as a team, you have to keep it a competitive edge over the public information that's out there. You have to.
But you not really if you know he's out. Like, don't you have to follow the guidelines of the injury report?
Yeah, but
I guess you
technically
don't.
They didn't do anything wrong.
He was listed as questionable. Like, in fairness, he was on the injury report listed as questionable.
Listed as questionable, which I'm sure he actually was. It turns out the full report now is, Sean just told me, Achilles tendonitis.
Yes.
Or something like that. That's what Chris McCaffrey has. And he's likely not playing in week 2 either.
Right.
Well, I'm glad I have Jordan Mason on my fantasy team.
Yeah, good
but
for you.
But the point is, like, it's technically not lying to say Christian McCaffrey is questionable, but Jordan Mason is going to start.
Right, especially if he's going to have a limited role.
Yes.
So then why?
And we should have all known this. And this is why, in my mind, I was like, Chris McCaffrey's not playing.
Yeah, you were the only one who said that.
Because he hasn't practiced it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's just standing on the sideline. He's just going to show up with a calf injury. And then on Sunday, we found out it's actually an Achilles injury. He's just going to play? It never made any sense to me.
From here on out, I'm going to trust Tiki on the whole running back injury update thing.
Yeah.
You're upset I didn't trust you, aren't you?
I am very.
I'm sorry.
You guys didn't listen to me.
I listened. I said, yeah, but he's probably going to play. And meanwhile, he didn't play. Like, it mattered. Jordan Mason is still running with the way he played
yesterday.
I don't
know if that was Laura or Lisa that asked that question, and it was probably innocent. But when you ask that question, aren't you kind of like fishing for him to say something dumb? Because it was shady, the whole Christian McCaffrey thing.
I don't think so.
And then the line dropped the point after that news came.
I don't think she was fishing for like a story. I think she was trying to get the like emotional, hey, when did you find out you were starting? Oh, I knew on Saturday. It was awesome. And like, I'm so excited. I think that's what she was
doing.
No,
she, I completely agree with Tiki. I didn't take it as her fishing. I took it as her trying to get the emotional story, but I guess it was fishing.
By
the reporters afterwards, who called Shanahan out and then asked Mason again,
right.
Hey, when did you find out? Your coach basically said you're a liar.
Right.
How about that? That's when the media, and I'm not blaming anybody because obviously you're looking for a story. So everyone did their job. I just, as a human being, felt bad that Jordan Mason was put in this position where he was just answering an honest question.
Yeah, and this kind of happened to me my rookie year because Rodney Hampton, who was a stud and just was the man, got hurt in training camp. And so right before our first game, we know he's not playing. And I remember Jim Skipper came up to me, and he's my running back coach, and he said, "Teek, if you're good with everything, you're going to start." And nobody knew that. It didn't matter because it wasn't the same era. This was in 1997.
Different
so
world.
So
now.
Long ago, it was a different world. But like nobody knew, but I knew. Teek, you're gonna start because Hamp's not ready. Hasn't practiced all week, and so. Like, you have to tell the kid so he gets his mind right. You have to tell Jordan Mason, be prepared for 20-plus touches, which he hasn't had in his entire career. Probably hasn't had since he was in college. Like, you prepare yourself because you're going to be on the field. So you need to be tight on the pass protections. You need to be tight on your routes. You got to be tight on all these other ancillary things that nobody talks about that running backs have to do. You got to be up to speed on them because you're going to get playing time. So in his mind, he's like, all right, I'm starting.
Right.
So even if they didn't say you're starting, he thinks he's starting.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he screwed a lot of
fantasy. It's an overblown story, but it's going to get the 49ers in trouble because they skirted the injury report.
It's overblown sort of like, here's where it's not. Football is very, very popular for a myriad of reasons.
Well, it's overblown because football's in bed with gambling.
Well, yeah, and fantasy.
Yes.
And it's an important...
Forget fantasy. It's in bed.
You think it's gambling more than the fantasy?
100%.
Yeah, it probably is because the line does change. But where did the 100%. Line move when McCaffrey was rolled
out? It went down a full point.
So it went from what to what? 4.5
to 3.5? It was 4.5 to 3.5 when the news came out.
See, like, I get it that it matters, that point.
It does, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't matter nearly as much as someone not having their running back eligible to start on a Monday night in fantasy.
Not if you laid that 4.5.
It didn't matter. You saw the result of the
game. I understand you could have laid, 15.5, but my point is that had it been in the between there, that could have been an issue.
And most of the time it's not. Sometimes it is. But in fantasy football, I would be pretty confident that I would say 80% of people that had McCaffrey going ready to go on a Monday night had that impact their results. So what I'm trying to say is, even though more people gamble, the impact in result was more impactful in fantasy than gambling, where there was still a great chance that line wouldn't have made any difference, which it didn't.
Fair enough.
So that's my point.
When you have a guy that's questionable going into a Monday night, you run a risk that the guy could be ruled out. So as a fantasy owner, you
run
that risk.
You got to take cautions, like I said to Tiki. That's why, you, from a fantasy perspective, it's good to give yourself that handcuff, to be prepared just in case. Like, if you have Christian McCaffrey and he gets ruled out, but you had his handcuff and Jordan Mason, it's like, okay, that sucks. At least I can start him. The problem with the Monday Night Fantasy thing is you have no one to pick up.
Right.
Like, it's not like you're picking up Breece Hall.
That's true.
You can't pick anybody
up. It's interesting because the reason, when I was on my fantasy draft a week ago, the reason I picked up Jordan Mason is because Christian McCaffrey wasn't practicing.
Look at you. Look at you.
It was at the end of the draft.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, you know what? Might as well take this kid, just in case.
Speaking of fantasy, you know where else I thought of Tiki in a fantasy? That came out wrong. The other...
Sydney Sweeney, you too?
You claimed on the air, not claimed, you did on the air, draft Saquon Barkley.
I did draft Saquon
He basically Barkley. Won you week one in fantasy.
He did.
He went from he's dead to me to he's my team.
I won by 3 points, too.
I won for you. That's such a perfect...
I did win because of him.
That's such a perfect completion to the whole Tiki Saquon, you're dead to me story. That in the end, Tiki drafted him and Saquon single-handedly led him to a week one victory.
He's a great running back.
No, I know.
Period.
But he's not fully dead to you.
No, he's fantasy live.
Exactly.
He's alive in my fantasies.